Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tons of reaction. It's just pouring in. There's no stopping it. I'm like the little Dutch boy trying to stick his fingers in the, what was that called, the dike?
Correct.
Couldn't stop the overflow of people chiming in about my decision to start taking hair loss medication.
How did the little Dutch boy come to be in such an unfortunate situation? He's standing there. He notices that the dike is springing some leaks.
And he had such little fingers.
Well, no, my problem is, like, you're letting the kid do that?
I know. That was child abuse.
Right. His Dutch parents
should have been put in Dutch jail.
As soon as an adult sees the little Dutch boy trying to plug the holes.
They were probably too busy splitting a bill somewhere. You like that, Malzi?
It's a pretty good line. Yes, very nice, Cornelius.
Bruce Gradkowski, former Steelers quarterback, joins us. Bruce, what are your thoughts on me starting to get ahead of my hair loss with medication? Smart?
No, I think it's smart. I mean, don't listen to your roommates like I did in college. I was a freshman, and they started making fun of me because I was getting pushed back. I had a little receding hairline, and my one roommate told me to put carrot oil on it and gave me this one, like, kind of bottle of carrot oil. And I'm telling you what, that thing made my hair thin even faster because so just don't get too ahead of yourself when you're trying anything possible.
Mm-hmm.
And just accept it. I mean, look, at least you're a lot older than what I was when I first started losing my hair. So just accept it and move on. Even though you're not going to look as good as me bald,
just accept
you have
something. I was going to say, Bruce, I don't think bald has like the old stigma that it used to.
But it is for my wife. She's not into it. It's a turnoff.
But like, Bruce, to me, I can't imagine you with hair. You look good as a bald guy. You look like a man who means all business, a man who might need to, you know, get better defense for his team next year, but a man who's all business.
So I'll tell you what, my buddy, my other roommate from college said, God blessed me to go bald. He said, I look better bald than I did when I had hair. So look, I'm telling you what, the Cena LaSalle days, I was a stud. I had hair, I was gelling it, strong hairline. And then from there on, it just kind of went downhill. I don't know what went wrong, but.
But as you lost hair, you gained fame and fortune in the NFL, first at Toledo, then in the NFL.
You're the opposite of Samson.
Right. Maybe the hair held you back. Maybe you end up a two-sport athlete at a Power 5 school, basketball and football, if you shave your head sooner.
Well, you know what? They always say the guys that don't have hair have more testosterone, so I just have a lot of it, you know, and
you've never thought about going the Drew Brees route and just all of a sudden showing up on TV with a full head of hair after being almost bald for years?
No, I mean, it goes through your mind, but I've been bald for too long. I was surprised Brian Urlacher did that because he looks good bald. Like, I don't know why he went back with hair.
He did the George Costanza thing on Seinfeld where George shows up with a full head of hair that's just an obvious rug.
Well, Jason Witten did that too. He went bald, Monday Night Football hair, back to the NFL, balding again.
These guys look like somebody painted a piece of clay and stuck it on their heads. Mm-hmm. It looks terrible.
Well, the thing I don't get, though, is how my dad, I mean, you guys have seen my dad, beautiful head of hair. He's like the silver fox. And, you know, and then my brother and I both have no hair.
So I can tell you it's supposed to be based on what your maternal grandfather had. So was your mother's father, was he a guy who was bald?
Yeah, he was. But why are my cousins? My cousins have full heads of hair. I mean, they could grow their hair out and have it long, and they have the same grandpa as me.
No, I know.
So
bad luck, I guess.
I don't get it, man.
Hey, Bruce.
I don't get it. But when I find the cure, we're all going to be rich.
So, yes. So Tomlin said this week they're going to build a plan for Mason Rudolph. You've been a backup quarterback, a highly successful one. Tell us about the difference between Saturday night, you find out you're going to start, and you've got to go with the game plan that was probably made for Ben Roethlisberger versus Tomlin installed an offensive game plan today that's Mason Rudolph specific.
Well, there's a lot of conversations that start early on in the beginning of the week, you know, with your offensive coordinator, your quarterback coach, of what kind of plays you like, especially if you're the backup. If you're the backup filling in, you know you're going to start this week. It's like, here's what I'm comfortable, here's what I like. And now they do. They try to build some plays that you're comfortable with that you would execute, because no matter who you are, every quarterback enjoys different type of plays. Even in Tampa, Tom Brady and his backup, there it's going to be a different look of an offense when the backup's in. So it definitely makes sense to do that, you know, to have a handful of plays, you know, when Mason plays, and to know, okay, this is what he's comfortable with, this is what he enjoys doing, and now he could play better and faster. I thought he did some good things last weekend. You know, I'll tell you what, though, it goes back to the simple thing, throwing and catching, protecting the football, putting it away, don't turn the ball over, and honestly, defensively, catch the interceptions that come to you. Like, if the Steelers just do the little things, the small things right, and do what they're supposed to do, they win that football game. So it's kind of frustrating in that sense. I mean, I think of the ball down the sideline to Washington, that he leaves his feet. He doesn't have to do that. Keep your feet, catch the ball, come in bounds, and that's a huge play. You know, the fumble at the end of the game. So there's too many, you know, those type of mistakes that just shouldn't happen. Now, from a quarterback perspective, Mason Rudolph throwing that one interception, you know, missing his running back behind him. Those things kind of happen when you haven't played much, but still it's a mistake that shouldn't happen. So just some ugly football at times, but also at times there's some good things too to build on, and it would just help Mason even further if it's more of a plan surrounding around him. I'm sure they did some things he enjoys and he's comfortable with, but now you continue that conversation until the big guy gets back.
Bruce, what kind of ball did you think Rudolph was throwing generally in that game? I know he had some bad throws, maybe a couple of good ones, but I don't know, man. What was unnerving to me, and I know the conditions stunk in that game, and maybe you can shed some light on how much that would affect things, it didn't even look like he was throwing a good ball out there. It looked like it was floating all the time. It was high. It just did not inspire confidence when he would let one go in that game.
Yeah, I mean, weather's definitely an issue, especially in the AFC North. I mean, you go to Cleveland, you play in Pittsburgh, Cincy's not perfect, Baltimore, same thing. You have to be able to throw in those type of conditions. And look, a lot of times, too, look like that matters because you can't get as good of a grip you would like on the football. The ball flutters on you, and you can't get it going. I thought he made enough necessary plays for them to win. But like I said, you have to catch the ball when you have an opportunity. You have to hit the open throws that are there. He underthrew a go ball down the left sideline that I think it was Washington as well. He has a step on him. Just lead him. You know, throw him a good ball. That takes reps as well at practice and so forth like that. Rudolph has to continue to grow and develop. I think he is. I think he's a guy you could trust when he's in there. I think he's earned that much. But now, if I'm him, how do you separate yourself that you give – the Steelers organization, but other organizations, confidence out there that, oh, no, we want this guy. Like, we think he could do some things, and that's where he has to change the perception.
Bruce Gradkowski with us. So, Aditi, who you're good friends with, and so are we, she was on the sidelines because NFL Network puts her right on the field. They would never do that for Chris and me, but they'll give her all this access, Bruce. So, she's out there before the Detroit game. And she's talking to Steelers coaches as the warm-ups are taking place. And the coaches, he didn't name them, but some of the Steelers coaches were saying to her about Haskins, what is this guy doing? He's on his phone. He's fooling around.
Throwing terrible passes.
Throwing terrible balls. They used the word lollygagging, which is an underused word, to describe how he was going about his business. And it was a step up for him. It was a promotion from third string quarterback to now he's one snap away from going into the game as a backup. And that's the way he was preparing. And when Aditi told us about this, Bruce, I don't know about you, as a guy that, you know, had to work hard to be an NFL quarterback for a long time, that's got to be so irritating that it sounds to me like someone might be either taking their opportunity for granted or not putting 100% effort into it.
Well, and just to shed some light and give a perspective about it, I mean, if it's the warm-ups where it's like 2 hours before the game, not everyone is obligated or it's not mandatory to go out on the field, I don't have as big of an issue with that. Now, I'd have to be there and see it and you know, just witness it for myself. I mean, because if you're responding to a text or getting back, I mean, honestly, that you shouldn't have your phone on the field for those type of things. I mean, I wouldn't bring my phone on the field because you're going on the field for a specific reason. It's to loosen up. It's to warm up. It's to get prepared mentally and physically. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff irritates me in a sense. But I also,
if the coaches are saying it, then I don't think it was like the 5 hours before the game. You know what I mean? Like, that's
the coaches taking note of it and saying they were seemingly indicating they were pretty annoyed by it tells me it was more serious.
Well, and that's a conversation they have to have with them. I mean, because perception is reality. And for Dwayne Haskins getting another opportunity in Pittsburgh, he has to be on his game every waking moment he steps on the field. Because if I'm him, I am rebranding myself. I am building my brand back, and I have to put the right foot forward. So anytime I'm in the light, a camera's on me, I have to be putting the work in, because nowadays too, like we're talking about, there's an eye everywhere. There's camera phones. There's everything everywhere where you got to be on your game. And it doesn't matter what people think realistically, because if he does get his opportunity, now he has to perform. But it's all the perception about it and being prepared, being ready to go. And you know, look, I'm not in those meetings. I'm not at practice. I'm not sure how he's doing. But he hasn't had to have many reps. Now, the last 2 weeks he probably has with Ben out, he's running scout team. Mason's getting the starting reps. So in those moments, that's where you're seeing if he's taking a step, if he's taking his job serious. I used to every day, man, I was blessed to be able to run the scout team against Dick LeBeau's defense. Because, number one, Dick LeBeau is such a great coach. He empowered his players to make plays. And I appreciated giving him a look. And I wanted to give the defense the best look I could to make it tough on them. So on Sunday, it seemed easier. And hopefully that's what Haskins is doing now, because you, at this point, you have to be a professional. You have to take care of your business because you're blessed with another opportunity.
I'll tell you what, if Ben can't go this week and they hand Haskins a tablet and say, hey, Dwayne, on here are a bunch of plays just in case you're going to get in. We need you to pick your 10 favorite, and it's actually a blank tablet. He better go and check that thing and not pull a Jamarcus Russell on him.
No, I mean, look. You
can't do the DVD.
Game,
you can't do that DVD bit anymore since it's all on tablets.
DVDs,
right?
Don't exist. Yeah, like, well, they do, but no one uses
them. I don't even know if you could pull that fast one like they did back in the day with Jamarcus.
No, you couldn't. You know, they used to leave like a couple bucks at the end of a playbook to see if you went through your playbook, and you get the money at the end of it, but. I think if anything, in another perspective, you know, the night before games, I mean, that's where conversations happen. I even remember with Todd Haley being the offensive coordinator, I'd have an opportunity the night before a game. He'd go through third downs and red zone with Ben, like, hey, what do you like here? What's your plays? And, you know, he would tell him, and then he'd say, hey, Bruce, what do you like? And I'd tell him. So he'd mark them in case that did come up. Now, if I had to go in the game, because we were just talking about building a game plan around Mason Rudolph, everyone enjoys an offense different. And I'm sure Dwayne Haskins, yeah, he better get his mind, you know, wrapped around what he likes, because it's not like Mason's the starter and the Steelers have to win football games. You're getting down to the stretch. This last game against the Lions was huge because you have some pivotal key matchups in the division. The Ravens just dropped a key one on Thursday night. This was your opportunity to really get back on top in the division.
Yep. Before we let you run, why is it that Roethlisberger can come in cold with no game plan or no practice and sometimes play his best football like last year, wasn't allowed to practice because of COVID, gets activated like minutes before the Bengals game, and throws for 304 touchdowns.
The dude's just he's a gamer. I mean, that's one thing that, you know, when Ben's retired and we look back and we're talking about, you know, before he's getting inducted to the Hall of Fame, you know, we're going to remember Ben as being that backyard football player. He's tough. He's gritty. He finds ways to win. And honestly, that's the Steelers football team. Even last week, I thought they'd find a way to win. But I just remember Landry Jones started the game. It was against the Browns. Landry Jones started. Ben was out. But Ben was healthy enough to just back up just in case something happened. Landry gets hurt first series of the game. Yeah, and like you're saying, Ben goes in and throws for 370 yards or something because he's a gamer. He just has a feel for the game. He's instinctual. You can't coach or teach, though, that stuff. So that's the difference, and that's why, you know, Ben is so remarkable in his career because he's different, man. He's a different breed. He's good at everything he does, and I witnessed it firsthand where I'm like, man, this guy comes in as a backup and just shreds the defense with no reps. I don't think he threw a pass all week long, and he's out there dropping dimes. So it was some pretty special.
Well, that was Mueller like the 9-3s. He didn't take any shots at all the entire week, and then he showed up at Penn State and made 9 straight.
I made a couple of little glass shots, if you will,
of 99 bananas or something like that.
Come on,
you know,
don't do me like that.
I don't know why my dad keeps sending me pictures of Mr. Blippi. You ever watch that show? He says he thinks that's your next calling. If you need a gig, you can be his.
Wait a minute. I actually have a picture of Blippi on my phone because my kid loves it, Bruce.
He thinks I
right
look
here.
Like this guy from a TV show?
You look like Blippi. You do.
Is he balding like me?
No, he kind of looks punchable, and he dresses in orange and blue
suspenders.
So
wait a minute. Your dad just sends you texts of this guy from a kid's TV show and says he looks like Pony?
Yes, and then my dad sends me, anytime you're on with Pompiani, he sends me a picture. I'm like, Dad, just send it to Filippone. You don't have to send it to me. So.
Greg, he really does look like Blippi.
Tweet it out and see if people agree.
All right.
All right, Bruce, thanks. Enjoy your student-teacher conferences tomorrow. Exciting stuff.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We got our big banquet, too, tomorrow. So.
Ooh, a big, big day in the Gradkowski house.
So the offensive portion of the banquet will be very robust, is what you're saying.
All right.
Have a good weekend, guys.
See ya. Bruce Gradkowski. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Ryan Clark at 5. We'll ask him about the Joe Schobert practice comment. Devin Bush tackling. Updated thoughts on the way Minkah Fitzpatrick's played this year. According to the Steelers website, Tomlin said of Bush, upon receiving the award, quote, he's a football lover and he can't hide it. It helps give him a winning edge in terms of facing the adversity that the game presents. He loves every component of the game. He likes practice. He likes walkthrough. He likes film sessions. I think that's the spirit in which he attacked his rehabilitation, and that's why he's out there doing some of the things that he's doing. Now, I posted this. And some of the reaction I got from Steelers media and Steelers fans, Chris, was, well, what did you expect him to say? Bush was getting an award. He had to tell white lies. He had to say complimentary things. He couldn't tell the Steelers website, this guy has sucked for me this year.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to, like, bestow some kind of faux praise or whatever on him.
He had to paint a better rosier picture than actually existed.
I think there's some truth to that, but...
Okay.
I want to, Craig, I want to ask you guys both this. I saw a little bit of this last night, and I was wondering if you guys had watched any of it, too. Have you seen or have you heard about the new Brady documentary series?
Yeah.
Man in the Arena?
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it because he's such a weirdo.
Haven't even heard of it.
Yeah. Okay, so it's on ESPN Plus, and I think it's like an 10-part show.
10 parts.
I think it's supposed to be basically... the Brady, like, version of The Last Dance. Not that this is the final season, but, like,
it's
something...
Brady All Access, behind the scenes, the Tom Brady, the stories, the personality you've never seen before.
So, I'm watching the first... I think it was the first episode of this, and it's all about how Brady gets the job. It's all about how Brady becomes the Patriots' starting quarterback. And I give this guy credit for even agreeing to be part of the series. Drew Bledsoe sits down, and he's getting interviewed for it. And Bledsoe, and I had thought this was the case, but I didn't, I guess, either pay attention or know enough about how pissed he was, talking about Bledsoe, when he came off the bench and won the AFC Championship game here in 01. He thought that he was going to start the Super Bowl against the Rams. And there was not, remember, that season, there wasn't 2 weeks between the Super Bowl and the championship game. Mm-hmm. He thought, Brady gets knocked out. He's probably not 100%. I won. I showed Belichick that I'm Drew Bledsoe.
Number one overall pick in my past.
Highest paid quarterback in the entire NFL, mind
you. I'm back, baby.
I'm back. And Bledsoe breaks it to him. You're not going to play.
Belichick
breaks it. Yeah, Belichick breaks it to Bledsoe. You're not going to play. And Bledsoe apparently was so hacked off that he didn't go to the Patriots parade. Like, he wants nothing to do. I don't even think he considers himself a Super Bowl champion because of that. Right? So I've referenced that without all the details. I've referenced on the show when talking about moves that coaches have made. Like, I think I've even drawn that parallel when Sullivan went with Murray over Fleury.
Mm-hmm.
A coach saying, yeah, this guy has made a lot of money and has won a lot and is statistically a great quarterback, but I've got a hunch to play the young guy with no pedigree, no experience, no resume.
Mm-hmm.
And Belichick played that hunch, and that's why Brady, does he have 7 championships? Yes, he played the game, yes, but it did take major balls for Belichick to stick with Brady and not go back to Bledsoe that year.
Okay.
And so I'm watching this last night, and I'm thinking, we're playing this game with Devin Bush. Like, Devin Bush. I know he was the 10th pick.
Different story than the Belichick one. Apples to oranges for this reason. Bill Belichick drafted Tom Brady. He didn't draft Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe got picked in 1993. There is no connection.
Yeah, that's
the way there is with Devin Bush.
That's a good point, but still, it's like,
he had also decided to ride with Brady.
Wait a minute. Who gave Bledsoe the contract extension, though? Was it Belichick? Who gave him $100 million? If it's Belichick, well, then your last point's null and void. If it's somebody else, well, then...
When did he get that? Do you remember? His second deal, it was his next deal after his rookie deal,
yeah,
right?
I would think
Belichick
so.
Took over that job in 2000.
He coached the 2000 team that was terrible.
They definitely would have given it to him before then because he
Are
was
you
in
sure?
the league from 93 onward. Just if you're saying that it's his second deal, I'll
he
look it up.
He signed his second $100 million contract in 2001.
Wait that's a minute. No, that's with the Bills, though, I think, right? Or is that with the Patriots?
No, it would be with the Bills because he got traded to Buffalo. He would have gotten traded to Buffalo in, like, no.
Wait a minute.
That Super Bowl would have been played in 2002, the 01 season.
So they gave him $100 million before that season started?
Let's look. Let's spot track it.
Yeah, that was with the Patriots. 10 years, $103 million.
Belichick gives the guy a 10-year, $103 million deal. And then he benches him a few months later for a guy named Tom Brady.
Oh, man, the quotes in here are brutal.
Like what? Give me one.
I've expressed over and over again my desire to play my entire career with the New England Patriots. It looks like that is a very real possibility.
What did a Belichick quote or two?
I'm scrolling through now. I don't see anything from Belichick.
Hi, Drew. Here's your money.
So the moral of the story
he
is...
He still didn't draft him, though. It's still different.
Chris.
You give him money, but you didn't draft the guy. You didn't. It's a collective decision. You still don't have that, I scouted you, I saw
something in you,
all of that.
So wait a minute. You think because of a draft,
yes,
that it would be harder to bench?
I think the process of drafting a player, especially in this day and age, is such an intimate one that Tomlin, a football guy, loves so much. You pick these guys' brains. You psychoanalyze. Do they love the game? Do they love the idea of the Steelers? Do they love all of it? Do they love what they do and what goes into being great? I think it is such an intimate process that involves sit-down dinners, that involves like hard conversations. We know Craig loves those. That if you're Mike Tomlin and you've invested that much of your own kind of personal capital along with Colbert into that process, and this guy is going belly up, you are going to fight like hell against the notion that that's actually happening. Yes. It would be, let me put it this way, if I were in their position, it honestly would be easier for me to walk away from the idea that I'd just given, like, Drew Bledsoe, even though I hadn't drafted him, I had given him a huge contract, and play the hotter hand who had given me an 11-3 record in the regular season when he started, who had taken me to that point, right?
Yep.
It would be a lot easier for me to say, no, I'm going right back to Tom than if I had drafted Drew
Bledsoe. Let me ask you this question. What if Devin Bush's primary backup was a guy that Tomlin had drafted? Like, let's say he thought Buddy Johnson was good enough.
Yeah, I think that says a lot about Buddy Johnson right now.
No, but I know, but
ready.
I'm just saying, like, is it easier in that sense to bench?
Maybe a little bit. I think a little bit. I just think there's something about drafting a guy. I also think about it if you're Belichick. What did you win with that year? Just to talk about that for a second. They won with defense and special teams and Brady kind of, you know, doing what he had to do and making some very opportune game-winning drives. What kind of a quarterback was Bledsoe? Gunslinger. When you think Belichick says, my best chance against the Rams is to actually ugly this up, and if Tom doesn't turn the ball over, that might work to our advantage?
Yeah, but I guess, again, that's a coaching win for Belichick, because I think there are other coaches that would have said, wow, Bledsoe looked good. The only way for me to beat the Rams is to go tit for tat with them and try to hang in and score 30-plus. This guy looked great against the Steelers. I'm going to go with him.
That game against the Steelers, though, here's the thing. He didn't look that good. He was under 50% completions, 10 for 21 for 100
yards. Maybe
Bledsoe
exaggerated then how good he was in that game.
Yeah, he wasn't. You know what? Last point on this. I'm glad we got to this point. If they win that game, they do win it because Bledsoe does play well enough. They won that game because of all of Belichick's hallmark stuff, attention to detail, special teams, all that. They pick off Stewart a bunch. If Bledsoe comes in and throws 4 touchdowns, I think it's a much different story.
Do you think he would have still benched him?
I think it would have been a lot tougher to make the decision to bench him if he had come in and balled out.
Couple things on the COVID front for this game on Sunday. Joey Bosa for the Chargers is a close contact. So he's unvaccinated, but he doesn't have a positive test.
Interesting.
That means he still could become eligible for the game on Sunday. He's not technically out. The other thing is with Roethlisberger, some research has been done, I guess, by NFL insiders this year, Chris. When someone actually tests positive and has symptoms, no one has come back within 8 days.
So he would be the first.
Yep.
What would have happened, just hypothetically, if his, this is maybe a stupid question, but somebody posed it on Twitter and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't thinking about asking John Clayton. If he tested his second negative in a certain time frame, like Saturday, and their flight was already in the air, they chartering a private jet to get him out there?
I think they would. I think if he tests negative...
Two straight negatives, and the last one is after the team has left for Los Angeles.
I think if his first negative test is Saturday morning, and he has a second negative test Sunday morning, I think day of game, he will fly from Pittsburgh to L.A., and he will play in the game that night.
I would play him.
So would I.
I wouldn't even think twice about it. And I don't even think that you would get, like, some great game. He'd be jet-lagged, maybe COVID-fatigued still. Better than what I saw from Mason Rudolph. I don't care if the game plan was designed for Ben or not.
We'll ask Ryan Clark about that, too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.